This is Flash Freeze, written by Cabeza de Perro, and read by Mistborn Hero. This is a Star Wars fan work, rated for teen and up audiences, and featuring the relationship Cody and Obi-Wan Kenobi, as well as the additional characters Alpha 17 and Shaak Ti. It has additional tags for Force-sensitive clone troopers, Force-sensitive Cody, the dark side of the Force, canon divergence. Summary: Obi-Wan learns about Force-sensitive clones 2 years and change into the war. The child lies with his eyes closed in the small cot by the window, the storm raging just beyond. It is the middle of Kamino's day cycle, but Obi-Wan can see nothing but water running down on never-ending sheets. Now and then, the whole room moans, the wind making it rattle. Shaak keeps looking up, mantras shivering. The skin around her mouth is pinched, her lips pale and dry, peeling in patches. She is exhausted. She hides it well, but Obi-Wan has known her for most of his life, and he can sense it in the back of his mind, a certain kind of far-away buzzing. The room is guarded. 2 troopers wearing the dull, grey uniform of the Kamino Defense Force. The one on the right has a band of bright red around both of his band braces, and Obi-Wan can feel the way their attention keeps trying to reach into the room at their backs, through the locked door and the many inches of terrestrial that separate them. He has many questions. He doesn't doubt for a single second that they wouldn't kill him in less than an instant if they thought he was there to hurt their general. "You seem tired, Master T," Obi-Wan starts, voice, mouth, and expression bland. Shaak blinks at him, and then huffs. She smiles, a flash of white fangs, and drops a hand down the length of her right leg in a self-soothing gesture. "I'm carking exhausted, Obi-Wan," she replies, and he lets himself sigh as well. He crosses the room towards her and reaches out with a hand. She goes without a word, stepping into his space, and lets herself be hugged. So she made sure the place wasn't bugged. She's lost weight. Obi-Wan holds her up without a word, hands rubbing soothingly the knotted muscle of her back through her heavy robe. And then he leans back to look into her face, into her dark, wide eyes. "I'm so glad you're here," she tells him. Obi-Wan huffs out a laugh. "Mace tried to make it, but with the blockade..." "It's all right, I just..." She stops herself. She breathes in and out, eyes closed. Obi-Wan watches her, rattled and growing ever more worried. Shaak Ti has been a Jedi Master for 15 years. She's a brilliant duelist and one of the most level-headed people Obi-Wan has ever met. She is clever, and she is the right kind of ruthless for a place like Kamino, adept at bending the rules and saying one thing and meaning something else with a gentle smile on her face. She blinks her eyes open. "The boy," she starts. Obi-Wan glances at him where he lays still on the bed. He is unconscious, but healthy. He looks 12 or 13, with a shock of dark curls and a round face. "He seems fine," Obi-Wan says. He turns to look back at her. Shaak smiles bitterly. "He is. He is also..." She lowers her voice. He is Force-sensitive, Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan blinks at her. He scowls and turns to look at the boy, and then he is by the cot's side, his hand, with the broken nails and the busted knuckles, wide and ugly and red, resting on the child's thin chest. He closes his eyes. Sid spit. A sunburst of pure power, well hidden, but bright and dangerous, and full of potential like a live wire. Things start falling into place, like puzzle pieces, inevitable and awful. The troopers by the door, Shaq's exhaustion, the fact that Obi-Wan has yet to see a single carking Kaminoan, their anxious solicitousness absent and louder than any word can ever be. The troopers by the door, they are Shaq's men, the ones she works with more often, the ones she trusts, the ones she likes best, the ones she knows like her in turn. Not ARC troopers, or Alpha Class instructors, or commando squads between assignments. So he is not the only one, Obi-Wan asks. He is not the only one, and what? They've all kept the secret for a decade and change? From the Kaminoans, and Dooku, and the traitors, and from the Jedi, and the rest of the galaxy? He's not the only one, Shaq repeats. She smiles grimly and goes to join him by the bed. She knows him well. She knows the path his brain is going down. If not for, well, it got caught on camera, and then one of the maintenance staff got caught in the middle of deleting the evidence and, well, Jess, Obi-Wan understands. Shaq tells him about the state the cavernous dorm was in when she stepped inside, about her struggle with Lamassu and Town Wei, about the trainer's opposition and the Alpha instructor's deferential blankness. They know. They know. They know, and they've been very carefully making sure no one else does. The galaxy's best-kept secret, just behind the identity of the Sith Lord they've been looking for a decade. He can't stay here, Shaq tells him, pacing across and back, the noise of her skirts deafening in the silence. The Kaminoans want to study him, but he's not just that. He is strong in the Force. If he was younger, if he was not a clone cadet. He is, Shaq agrees. She pauses in front of him. Obi-Wan, this place, this miserable, awful place, he can't stay here. Obi-Wan can feel it, like a thick layer of grease dripping down his shoulders and trying its best to find a crack in his shields, into his mind and into his soul. Kamina is damp white hallways and the bile-sharp taste of anxiety. Kamina is watered-down bleach and the rusty smell of all the blood. Kamina is, and it shouldn't be. Kamina is grief and fear, and sometimes Obi-Wan thinks they should have let it sink under the waves. The war is changing them all. Anakin is. Obi-Wan can see it in him, but he can also see it in Ahsoka, in Master Yoda, in Mace and Luminara and everyone else. He can feel it in himself. He is harder and meaner than 2 years ago, because that is what war and suffering and violence and grief do to people. Obi-Wan is also 37 years old, and he's lived a long, fulfilling life. He is a Jedi Master. He knows how to protect his own soft belly, to hide his mind and his soul away. He has been taught to work through pain and loss, and he was never a good student, but he is an adult. He is a Jedi. He is not a 13-year-old clone trooper in the making. 13. He must be 6. Obi-Wan rubs at his face. His head is starting to hurt. What a mess. Who knows about this? He asks. Shaak scoffs. Some of the head scientists, some of the trainers, and probably most of the clones on Tipoca. And if the clones on Tipoca know, so do the ones on Obi-Wan's Venator. On every single Venator in the fleet, Obi-Wan blinks. When did this happen? 2 days ago. I sent word as fast as I could. And they have known about it for 2 days. Cody has known for 2 days. Obi-Wan looks at Shaak. She is smiling at him, expression bitter, lips pressed tight. They don't trust us, she says, simply. She sighs. And I can't blame them. Not really. Obi-Wan would trust his men with his life, has trusted them with his life, and Cody, he trusts Cody with more than that. The boy can't stay here, Obi-Wan repeats. Sid Spit, what a mess. Shaak sighs. I can keep him safe for a little while longer, until he wakes. I had one of the medics see him. He will be fine. I will tell the rest of the council, Obi-Wan promises her. Now he knows why he was asked to go in person to Kamina, despite the war, despite everything else. This is worth it. This could change everything, will change everything. Thank you, Shaak tells him, bowing her head. She looks up, back at him, and tilts her head. I also wanted to talk about you. Obi-Wan blinks. Shaak doesn't keep talking immediately. She moves to the window and looks through the water at the dark, churning skies. The Darksider, the one you said you felt. She starts. A presence like a dark star, bright and cutting, there and gone, blooming in the middle of the battlefield and fading away again, without a trace, like it was never really there. Obi-Wan's still not sure he didn't imagine it. You think it might be one of them? Shaak nods. Obi-Wan looks at the boy. And then he thinks about his men, the men. He can sense them despite the distance, still on the negotiator, slowly orbiting the planet. And he can sense Cody, as well shielded as always, deeper into Tipoca, talking to. Seventeen turns to look at him. He looks older than the last time they saw each other. He has his leg brace on and his helmet off, cradled in the crook of his elbow. Cody blinks and copies 17, the bright orange of his shell, jarring and beautiful in Tipoca's white blandness. As always, despite everything, Obi-Wan feels something unclench in his chest when he lays eyes on his commander. Cody just smiles at him. He tilts his head.
I didn't know you knew each other, Cody says.
Obi-Wan rolls his eyes.
Of course you did,
he tells him. 17 snorts, hoarse and rough and mocking.
Kenobi, he replies. So you're still alive.
Obi-Wan snorts. For now, he says, despite the galaxy's best efforts, it seems, I am glad to see you are doing well.
17 says nothing. He glances at Cody one last time. His free hand flexes its fingers. Obi-Wan watches in silence while he puts on his helmet and starts limping his way across the hallway, Kama swishing against his leg. Obi-Wan reaches out to him and finds a wall. Yes. He turns to look at Cody. Cody is already looking at him, as hard to read as he almost always is. A small smile on his face. Force signature steady and still and familiar and loved. Obi-Wan lifts his eyebrows at him and the facade cracks in two. Cody rolls his eyes and lets his smile widen and grow crooked.
He used to be one of our trainers,
he explains to Obi-Wan. Fondness drips from every single word, filling the space between them. He loves the bastard very much.
Well, Obi-Wan starts. That certainly explains some things.
Cody snorts, ugly and loud, and lets himself look his age.
He taught me everything I know,
he says, and it is a threat and a promise, and Obi-Wan puts it all away, hardens his heart and his shields, and moves to stand beside his commander, shoulder to shoulder, just close enough to touch.
Obi-Wan spits in the sink and then bends lower to drink from the faucet, elbows knocking against the walls of his tiny fresher. The air smells of cleanser and spunk, and he clears his throat, relishing in the dull, throbbing soreness there. Cody is still in the bed, starfished and belly up, limbs overflowing the mattress and blinking sleepily at the ceiling of Obi-Wan's sleeping nook. The sheets are still tangled around his legs. When Obi-Wan steps back into the room, Cody turns to look at him without moving, thoughts slow and deep and very far away at once. Obi-Wan never looks, never tries to look behind Cody's efficient shielding, because he, simply, doesn't want Cody to hate him. He owns so very little. The least Obi-Wan can do is let him keep his thoughts and feelings to himself. They'll have to go their separate ways soon. Obi-Wan has fallen asleep at Cody's side just once, a few months ago, because they were planetside and they were safe and they shouldn't have. It was dumb and dangerous, but sometimes Obi-Wan feels like his life is a never-ending churn of blood and metal, and he wanted something good, and Cody wanted him back, so. He goes back to bed, and they resettle. Cody's reassuring weight pressing down on him, and he sleeps on Obi-Wan's sore throat. He sighs, breath warm, and Obi-Wan buries his face in his messy hair, still damp with sweat. He trusts Obi-Wan. He must. He wouldn't let Obi-Wan into his body or into his bed if he didn't. Obi-Wan exhales and focuses on the feel of Cody's skin under his fingertips. There is a scar on the small of his back that's ugly and knotted and familiar. Obi-Wan has had his mouth on it, and now he follows it with a fingertip and feels Cody shiver and sigh.
I can hear you thinking,
Cody grumbles, lips soft against the soft skin of Obi-Wan's throat. He sucks a wet kiss there and settles down again.
Apologies, Obi-Wan says.
Do you trust me?
Cody hums, blinks,
eyelashes brushing Obi-Wan's neck. He has always been so hard to read. Prickly and clever and distant, he keeps himself just beyond arm's reach, despite everything, despite himself. The Darksider was bright. He wasn't like Maul or Dooku. He was a flashbang of focus and power, and then he was gone. He calls Kamino home. Obi-Wan closes his eyes and feels himself sink into the bed, under Cody's weight, and he could reach into his mind and find what he needs to know. He should, but he doesn't, and he won't. The end. Thank you for listening. This has been recorded for ITPE 2022 as a treat for Litra, who had Cody one on their list, and clones that, well, people being Force sensitive that were not Force sensitive in canon, and people being Sith, and I found this one, and I thought it fit so well, and I really hope you enjoy Litra. Thank you for listening.